fifth perek in Pirkei Avos, we have two Mishnayos where Avraham Avinu is mentioned. In the first Mishnah, the earlier Mishnah, he's only called Avraham. He's not mentioned by the name Avraham Avinu. In the later Mishnah, he is referred to as Avraham Avinu. The earlier Mishnah says that there were 10 doris mi Odom ve'ad Noach, and then it says there were 10 doris mi Noach ve'ad Avraham. And it doesn't give him the title Avraham Avinu. And later in the perek, the Mishnah draws the distinction between one who is mitamid of Shal Avraham Avinu, as opposed to one who is mitamid of Shal Bilam HaRoshim. So Rav Chaim Volozhin comments on that. The Mefarshim and Mishnah is pointed out why in the earlier Mishnah he's not referred to by his title Avraham Avinu. So he says the only time we refer to him as Avraham Avinu is when we're getting something genetic from him, when something goes over in the DNA, in Yerusha from our forefathers, either Yerusha money, or Yerusha in the genes, or Yerusha in the Midas. So the Mishnah talks about the difference between Talmid of Shel Bilam HaRosh and Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu. Those who follow, the Jews who follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, it's in the genes. That's how the Drosha Saran has a famous Drosha on Parshas Chayisara. Why did Avraham Avinu send Eliezer, his Eved, back to the Altaheim to find the Shidduch from his family for his son Yitzchak? The people in the Altaheim were all Abdi Avodah Zarah. He was the one who wasn't an Abdi Avodah Zarah. And Avraham Avinu had many, many followers who were Yirei Shemayim and Nefesh Asher Osa Bechoran. And the Rambam says that there were tens of thousands of followers that he had. The Rambam must be quoting a Medrash. He writes that he had Alofim Revovos. He had tens of thousands of people who converted to believe in monotheism. So the Ran in the Drosha says that, yes, the Bali Tshuva and the Geirin that Avraham Avinu worked with, the tens of thousands, they were Maminim, but the Muna doesn't go Birusha to the descendants. Midas Tavis go over. So the Bali Tshuva that he had didn't necessarily have Midas Tavis. He said he wanted someone from his family who had Midas Tavis, and somehow the Midas Tavis, he assumed, would go over in the genes to the descendants. So that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. Look at the difference between Talmidav Shel Bilam HaRosh as opposed to Talmidav Shel Avraham Avinu. I mean, Talmidav Shel Avraham Avinu, the Midas Tovus that they have is because Bnei Yisrael have this in their genes. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhin says. Avraham Avinu is referred to as Avinu because we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. The Chumash describes the way the Avos acted, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And it's described in order that we should learn from that. Not stam stories, Bible stories. This is to teach us how we're supposed to act. At the end of the parsha, you have the amazing Nisayan of the Akedah. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos mentions that Avraham Avinu withstood. He succeeded in the ten Nisayanis. The biggest Nisayan was the Nisayan of the Akedah. And this is written that we should know that we are obligated to fulfill the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to the extent of doing an Akedah. On Rosh Hashanah, the Kriyas HaTorah is about the Akedah. So here in the building, they have copies of the Jewish Week available free. So before Rosh Hashanah, I picked up a copy, and they had an essay written by some scholar, some contemporary, probably a Reform rabbi or something, that he says how terrible it is and how awful it is that a person is prepared to kill his son for the sake of God. No parent, no one is allowed to do that. That's mamash kfira. The Torah writes this story that we should understand that we're even mechuyev to do the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to the extent of killing our children, if that's what God wants us to do. Sometimes a person will have hallucinations. A person is a meshuganet. And he thinks that he hears voices, and he hears that God is telling him to commit suicide or to kill someone else. So a person has to be normal. We're not talking about Otto B'Shuftenes. We're not talking about crazy people. Avraham Avinu was a sane person. He was a normal person. And he was a Navi Muchzok. This wasn't the first time he got a Nevuah. He had previously gotten other Nevuahs. And his son Yitzchok knew that his father was a Navi. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Peites, how did Yitzchak allow his father to tie him up and to kill him? Avraham Avinu told Yitzchak what he's going to do. He should have slugged him. He should have beaten him up. What do you mean? How do you allow your father to kill you? He's going to do murder. So he said, the Gemara says, the father, Avraham Avinu, said, I got a nevuah. And he believed him. If I don't know who the person is, a man comes and he says, I'm a Navi. And the Baruch Shalom told me, you should kill your son. So I said, you're crazy. You're not a Navi. Prove that you're a Navi. You have to give, you have to demonstrate osusimofsim. You have to demonstrate some ness to prove that your authenticity, that you're a Navi. But Avraham Avinu was already a Navi Muchsuk. Yitzchak had known in the past that he was already a bona fide Navi. So the halacha says that the Navi has namanas. There's a new namanas of a Navi. There's a namanas of a Talmid Chacham also. Talmid Chachamim have namanas to say what the halacha is. It's not identical with the din of Erechad Nem and Bisurim. Let's say in a Dovish of Yerva, you need two Edim. So let's say a Chacham is going to be Mater and Aguna. And tell her she's allowed to marry. So you should need two Talmid Chachamim who should say that the Aguna is allowed to remarry because it's a Dovish of Yerva. But you have a Shaila of Dini Mominus. A Din Torah of Dini Mominus, Eid Echud is not believed in Dini Mominus. So let's say the two parties come to one Talmid Chacham, whatever he says, they're going to follow. So the one Talmid Chacham says the Din is like this. It says in Choshem Ish, but the Din is like this. How are they allowed to believe him? Eid Echud is not believed in Dini Mominus. The answer is that's a separate Namonus. It's Namonus Chachmeh HaMastorah. Have namanas to say what the halacha is, even if they're not quoting something. It's not because it's a milsa d'avir l'glui loy mishakri. I'll tell you where it is in the Shulchan Aruch, and you can look it up. I tell you, it doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. I say libi oimali, based on my knowledge of kol haTorah kula, whatever I know. I think the din is like this. You're not going to find it anywhere. And still, the halacha says that the Talmid Chacham has namanas yichidi. He doesn't know if it's a davar shebi'erva din namanas. You don't require shnayim. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's a separate namanas chachma hamasor. Have namanas to say the halacha like the Gemara has. A Nabi Muchsuk has namanas to say. Can't ask a kasha. How can he have namanas? It's a can. Eid Echad is not nemen keneged cheska siser. Here's keneged cheska siser. We know that there's an isa loy sirtzach, and Avraham Avinu is telling us that he got a nevuah and he's allowed to do ritzicha. Eid Echad keneged cheska siser is ain't a neman. That's his biyodi. Not biyodo, it's not biyodo to change the dinim. The answer is Navi Muchsuk Shaini. That's not halacha. So Yitzchak knew that his father was not crazy. He knew that his father was sane. And his father tells him, I got a nevuah. So he has namanas. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim writes in one place, why did the Torah write one of the lessons? Why did the Torah write this story to teach us to what extent we're obligated to follow the Ratzon Hashem? The Ribbono Shalom gives us tzivuyim and we have to listen to the mitzvah. We have to follow. Even if it's going to wreck our family. The Rambam adds another point. One of the lessons that we should learn from the Akedah is how clear the Nevuah was presented to all of the prophets. The Gemara draws a contrast between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shar HaNevi'in, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Bas Bekloria HaMe'ira. The other Nevi'im was Bekloria She'in HaMe'ira. So what do you mean Bas Bekloria She'in HaMe'ira? Everything was hazy and everything was foggy and they weren't sure what they heard, what they saw. So how is a man prepared to kill his son if everything is hazy and everything is unclear? So the Rambam says, no, it was 100% clear. Aspekloria Hamira means something else. But even Aspekloria Sheinamira means that it was clear to Avraham Avinu that that was what was expected of him. He's supposed to bring his son as a korban. It turns out in the end that he made a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Rashi quotes in the man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I didn't tell you that. I told you, Haleu Shamliya. I told you, just take him up to the top of Hara Maria and take him down. So Avraham Avinu misunderstood the Tzivui. So there's a famous explanation that's attributed to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that there was no misunderstanding. Avraham Avinu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Magdash Yitzchak as a korban, which he did. And then we have Dinim in the Mishnah. So if I see a korban running around, Mishnais and Shkolim like that. If I see, let's say, there's a behemoth walking around in Yerushalayim and has a tag on it, this carbon is a shlomim, this carbon is an oilo. You don't know who it belongs to. So the Mishnah says, you makravid l'shem shlomim, makravid l'shem oilo. The Mishnah says, what if it doesn't have a tag? What if it's a zachar? So you assume that it's an oilo. If it's an akeba, you assume it's a shlomim. So whenever you have a carbon, you're supposed to, even though you don't know who the Bala Korban is, you makriv it on behalf of whoever the Bala Korban happens to be. So here, Avraham Avinu was commanded by Kodesh Bocha, Haleo Shem Leoyla, he should be Magdash his son Yitzchak as an oila, which he did. And then the next step he understood on his own. Whenever you have a Korban roaming around, so he's supposed to shecht it and burn it on the Mizbeach. So then Kodesh Bocha tells him, no, Tishlach Yarchal Anar, that din doesn't apply. I told you to be Magdashim. I told you, bring him up to the top of Hara Maria, ask to say, bring him up. And now I tell you, Achsei, take him down. That din doesn't apply. So what was the value of being Magdush Yitzchak as a korban if you're not going to be makriv him? So the pasuk says, Avraham Avinu saw ayel achar ne'achaz basvach v'kardem v'soa. Sounds like a different ayel. Ayel achar. What do you mean a different ayel? There was no other ayel. So the commentaries say Avraham Avinu was going to be makriv his son as a korban, and then he sees it's supposed to bring a different. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows him a different ayel. So he's makriv the other ayel. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, every step of avodah that Avraham Avinu was doing, he says he offered ayel achar tachas bino. What do you mean, tachas bino? Vayaleu li'oilo tachas bino. So Rashi says, when he did the shechita on the ayel, he said, yihirotzim ulfanecho, that this should be considered kilu ani shechet ez bini. When he did the zrikas adam, yihirotzim ulfanecho, kilu I had done zrikas adam on my son. When he did the haktorah, when he burnt the ayel achas, he said, yihirotzim, this should be considered kilu, I was makdim my son as a korban. In other words, Yitzchak was hukdash as a korban. And not only hukdash, the avodas were considered as if they were done to Yitzchak. Tachas b'no means that you do the avoda to this one is considered as if you did the avoda to the other one. The halacha says that there's a psul yotze. All korbanos have a makam. Kachi kachim, the makam is the azor, and kachim kam, the makam is in Yerushalayim. So whenever you take a korban chutz l'makomo, it becomes nifsal. So if you take kachi kachim chutz l'azor, even if you bring it back in, you can't be makriv it and you can't eat it because it's already nifsal b'yotze. If you take kachim kalim, even if you bring it back in, it's already nifsal b'yotze. If you take ma'aseh sheni outside of Yerushalayim, bring it back in, there is no psul yotze on ma'aseh sheni. You're not allowed to eat it chutz l'Yerushalayim. Chalto sham lefnei Hashem lakecha ma'aseh digonach b'tzirosh chavitzarecha. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim, but there's no psul yotze. But on besar ha'karbonis, there's a pasuk. The pasuk is in Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Ubasa basada treifa lo sochelu. So the Gemara is bothered with the word basada. Ubasa treifa lo sochelu. You're not allowed to eat an animal that has a treifas on it. So the word basada has the connotation of kivish yotza basa chutz l'mchitzasai nesar. If the basa left its mechitza, whatever the mechitza happens to be, basada means it's in the wrong location. So if it's kachikalim and it's taken chutz lo azara, it's nifsal b'yotzei lo sochelu, even if you bring it back in. And if it's kachim kalim and you take your chutz Yerushalayim, it's nifsal b'yotzei. And the Gemara has a din if you have a ben pekua and it sticks a leg out of the mother and it pulls the leg back in. It's also basa shiyotzu chutz from chitzos, so you say you're not allowed to eat it. So the psukim tell us that when Avraham Avinu was commanded in Alech Lecha to go to Eretz Yisrael, then there was a famine, so Avraham Avinu went down to Eretz Mitzrayim. So the parsha says later, when there was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak, so Yitzchak also, Yitzchak Avinu was planning to go down to Mitzrayim because Yitzchak Avinu does everything that Avraham Avinu does. That's what the Aksava Kabbalah in his commentary on the Chumash quotes a passage from the Zohar. He was a Rav in Germany. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveger, Aksava Kabbalah. So he apparently, they weren't so keen about studying Zohar there. So he never tells you that it's from the Zohar. He calls it the Mechilta de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He quotes the Zohar, euphemism. So he quotes the Zohar and says, so the Yekis will accept it already. If it's a Zohar, they may not want to listen. That's kosher. So he quotes the Zohar that says that Yitzchak Avinu did exactly everything that his father did. It says he digs the same wells and he calls the wells exactly the same name as his father, everything the Masor. So when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayeri Yitzchak. He goes on his way to go to Mitzrayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and he says, no, gur baretz hazos, you shouldn't go. I'll tear it Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go down to Egypt. Why? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, you're not following in the footsteps of your father. Your father was not a korban. So if your father would go to Chutz Lortz, he would not be nifsal b'yotze. But you were hukdash as a korban. So it's different times. A lot of times people think they're doing exactly the same as their father, same as their grandfather. And it's not exactly the same. Due to changing times, due to different circumstances, you live in a different country, different part of the world. So you're not doing exactly the same. My grandfather wore a big, my great-grandfather wore a big shtreimel, but everybody in the city wore a shtreimel. I'm going to live here in Washington Heights. I'm going to walk exactly the same as my great-grandfather. What is exactly the same? People are going to laugh at me, and my children are going to feel awkward and uncomfortable. Everything is different. So you have to ask a shayla, is it exactly the same? That's what we spoke about. My grandfather was one of the founders of the Aguda, so therefore I have to follow. What do you mean? Your grandfather was before Hakamas HaMedina. For better or for worse, it's a different world. The Aguda then, Aguda now is a different story. My grandfather was one of the founders of the Mizrahi, so therefore I have to belong to the Mizrahi. Maybe the Mizrahi then was good, maybe now it's no good. It's not the same Mizrahi, it's not the same Aguda. The whole world is a different world. Each step you have to ask, is it exactly the same? So Yitzchak Avinu thought that he's doing exactly the same as his father was. When there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, he went down to Egypt, so he thought he's doing exactly the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, you're not doing the same. You will hukdash as a korban, and you'll be nifsal b'yotzi if you go to chutz l'aretz. Gur b'aretz hazos, you have to stay in Eretz Plishtim. So the commentaries ask, what do you mean? A korban is only nifsal b'yotzi after Shechita, before the first Avodah. First Avodah that you do to the Korban, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halach, Hazrika. Before you do the first Avodah, it only has Kedush Zaguf, Lamizbeach. So it's not yet Hukdash sufficient, it's not sufficiently Hukdash to be Nifsal B'yotze. You have to do the first Avodah, then it's called not only Kedush Zaguf, Lamizbeach, then it has a Kedush HaSkorban. The Gemara has an expression at the end of Zvachim. The Sakin Mekadish, when you Shech the Korban, it's Mekadosh the Korban. What do you mean it's Mekadosh the Korban? When you made, you said, Hareza Oila, Hareza Shlomim. It already has a Kedusha. So the Mefarshim explains, Saka Mekadosh, when you do the Shechita, Avodah Rishon, it gives it, it enhances the Kedusha. When you had the Kedusha's Peh, it only had Kedusha Guf Lamizbeach. When you do the Avodah Rishon, the Shechita, then it gets Kedusha's Korban. So before it has the Kedusha's Korban, it cannot be Nifsal B'yotzi. It can have an animal roaming around in Eretz Yisrael, in the Chutz Lords, it doesn't, in your Magdash, you can be Magdash an animal in New York, it won't be Nifsal B'yotze. When you bring it to Yerushalayim and you shecht it in the Azara, and then you take it out, then it'll be Nifsal. So what do you mean? The Medrash quotes, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yitzchak Avinu, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael, you were Hukdash as a Korban. Hukdash as a Korban, but he was never Nishchat. So how is he Nifsal B'yotze? The answer is, the Shechita done to the Ayel Achar, Nechaz Basrach B'kana, was considered as if it was done to Yitzchak Avinu. So he had the status of a korban la'achar avodah rishona. It was considered as if the avodah was done. So it's not that Avraham Avinu misunderstood the tzivoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him halei osham li'oilo, and not that he meant, Rabbanu Shalom meant bring him up to Har Hamaria, and he thought that he meant magdashim. No, Rabbanu Shalom told him be magdashim as an oilo. Maybe the words in the Chumash are not necessarily, like we mentioned many times, the words in the Chumash are not necessarily direct quotation from the speaker. Doesn't necessarily mean the Rabbanu Shalom said these words and Avraham Avinu misunderstood. The Rabbanu Shalom said clearly to him, you should be Magdashim, take him to Har Maria and be Magdashim as a Korban Oilo. Rabbanu Shalom never said the second step. Avraham Avinu understood on his own the second step. When you have a Korban roaming around, you have to do the Avodas to it. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, you shouldn't do the Avodas. But we assume Avraham Avinu understood the Nevuah. And Yitzchak knew his father was not drunk, and he knew his father was not a lunatic. His father was a Navi Muchzok, and he had namanas. The Navi has namanas to say that Agado Hayru Ashur. If a Navi is going to come and say, Rabbanu Shalom told me from now on, you don't have to keep Shabbos anymore. So you know that he's a Navi Asheker. But if the Navi comes and he says that the Lohayru Ashur, the Rabbanu Shalom told me to kill someone, Lohayru Ashur. So the Gemara says you have to believe the Navi. The one exception to the rule is Avodah Zarah. Even Avodah Zarah L'Hayra Shoah, you can't believe the Navi is a Navi Yashaker.
So if he was a Korban Ola, so he was Kachim, so how is he allowed to leave the Azara?
Yeah, you can't. Ah, don't know. It's a good Kasha. Maybe which Azara? Where was the Azara? I mean, all of Eretz Yisrael is a Mokkaim HaKrobot. You can make a Bama wherever you want. So all of Eretz Yisrael has the status of Azara, I guess. There was a Hayra Shoah, he should bring him as an oiler on Har Amaria. But basically, all of Eretz Yisrael was kosher for HaKrovas Korbanos.
The Medrash Parshas Samach Daled that Rashi quotes says that the Gvulim of Eretz Yisrael had the status of the Kalayim of the Mishkan.
Of Toch HaKloim.
Toch HaKloim.
Of the Azara.
Of the Azara. So,
so all of Eretz Yisrael had a status. There's a Medrash that says, fine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Avraham Avinu should bring a korban, but don't you need a kohen for a korban? So the Rabbanu Shalom tells Avraham Avinu, I'm going to declare you, I'm going to appoint you as a kohen gadol. So Makshim Hoylem, what do you have to be a kohen gadol for? It's enough if he's a kohen. The Medrash starts off, don't you need a kohen for akrovas? Baruch Shalom said, okay, I'll make you a kohen gadol. If it changes in midstream, so some of the commentaries explain, Avraham Avinu thought that he's going to be makriv the carbon. If he's going to shecht, his son is going to be an oinen. His son just got killed, he's going to be an oinen. Oinen ain't a makriv carbonus, but the din is a kohen gadol is makriv oinen. So that's why the Baruch Shalom had to appoint him as a kohen gadol. That's what the Velt says, Pshat. About 10 years ago, there was another essay printed. That's a syndicated essay. It's printed in many newspapers, probably printed in Jewish press also. I don't remember. By a rabbi who claims to be an Orthodox rabbi, who wrote his own idea that Avraham Avinu failed the test of the Akedah. The test was to see whether he's going to listen to God who tells him to kill his son, or he's going to know that the ethical imperative requires that you're not allowed to kill anybody, even if God tells you to kill someone. And he was about to kill his son, means that he failed the test of the Akedah. So that's against our tradition. Our tradition is that he passed the test of the Akedah. So the one who published this essay claims to be an Orthodox rabbi. So he quotes the Sfas-Emes. So the Sfas-Emes says so. Sfas-Emes doesn't say so. He quotes in the name of quote from the Sfas-Emes, the Malach tells Avraham, "Ati yadaiti ki yirei li ki maka." Now I know that you have a lot of Yerushalayim, but your Yerushalayim is out of proportion with your Avos Hashem. You have to have a little more Avos Habrios and Avos Hashem. You emphasize too much Yerush Hashem. That the Malach was condemning Avraham Avinu. You failed. "Ati yadaiti ki yirei li ki maka." That's like the Arabs' history book. They write that the Arabs won the war in 1948, and the Arabs won the Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim. All of history is backwards. The Hashmonaim lost the war. What do you mean? The Hashmonaim won the war, and Avraham Avinu passed the test of the Akedah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, in the first paragraph, why do we blow shofar b'shofar shel hayel? That we want to invoke that the Akedah Yitzchak should be nizkar. On the occasion of Akedah Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu brings an ayel instead. So we use a shofar shel hayel, that the Baruch Shalom should remember the schus of Akedah Yitzchak. And the davening, we always say, the Tanoim composed the Nusach HaTvila. We say in Rosh Hashanah, Dikah Shemana Esrei, we say all the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be kind to us in the schus of Akedah Yitzchak. He didn't fail the test of the Akedah. He passed the test with flying colors. One is obligated to listen to the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Unless you think that unless you're hallucinating. No, we're not talking about Meshuggah, we're talking about a normal person. Avraham Avinu was sane, and he wasn't drunk, and he was a Navi Muchzak, and he understood, he had an Aspik Gloria Sheina Meira, but he understood what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling him. And he knew that by bringing his son for the Akedah, this will ruin his whole life's career. He was trying to convince all the Yavdav and Zorah, you have to believe in monotheism, no such thing as human sacrifice. And he's telling him, and they're all doing wrong, they bring numerous and human sacrifice. Then God tells him, I want you to bring your son as a carbon. This is going to ruin, they're going to say, I'm a Meshuggah. His whole life's career is down the drain now. He's obligated to do the Ratzon Hashem, even if it's going to ruin his whole life's career. Even if it will undo the whole effect that he had on the whole world. A lot of people wanted to oof for Yiddishkeit. You want to accomplish things for Yiddishkeit. Avraham Avinu would have accomplished more if he wouldn't bring his son as the Akedah. He was opposed to human sacrifice. Forget about accomplishing for Yiddishkeit. You have to do whatever God tells you to do. There's a commentary by the Ran, a Pirush Ran, on Chumash, on Bereishis. I don't think they have on the rest of the Chumash. I think they just have on Bereishis. A lot of it is parallel with what it says in the Drushas HaRan, and they're both by the same Ran, by the Ran who wrote the commentary on the Rif. There were different Rabbeinu Nissens, but this is the same one. So the Ran has a fantastic suggestion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an Nisoyan to Avraham Avinu. What was the Nisoyan? So the Pashup Shat is, he instructed him, he commanded him at Tzivoy, you have to bring a carbon. But it says, Kach no es bincha. The word no ain't no el aloshen bakosha. So the Ran has this fantastic suggestion. He said, the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I'm asking as a favor. You would make me very happy if you would bring your son as a carbon. So he could have said, no, thank you. He said, the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, Vince, please, if you don't want to, you don't have to. It would make me happy if you do. And Avraham Avinu still prepared. That's what the Ran says. That was the Nisoyan. Avraham Avinu still prepared to bring his son. He's a Novi, and is prepared to bring his son as the Akedah, even though he was never in the Tztafa. He was just told that this is This would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he's not commanding him. Kach not, you'll be doing me a toiva. That's quite a chiddush. There is a medrash that's quoted by the Beis Yosef, and then in the Shulchan Aruch they quote it, that in the morning when we recite the Parshas HaTamid, after we complete reading the Pesukim with the Parshas HaTamid, we add another pasuk that doesn't appear there. So the Medrash says when the Jewish people recite that pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recalls the schus of the Akedah. Because Avram Avinu brought the carbon al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafayna, on the Tzafan of the Mizbeach. What does that mean exactly? So they quote in the name of Reb Shua Leib Diskin that it says when Avram Avinu is about to do the Akedah, he put his son on top of the Mizbeach, on top of the Yetzim, who's going to shecht him on top of the Mizbeach. In the Beis HaMikdash, he never shecht on top of the Mizbeach. He shecht, Kotchi Kotchim have to be nishchotim in the right-hand side of the Mizbeach, Tzofen is the right side. And Kotchim Kalan can be shechted, anywhere in the Azara is acceptable. But you never shecht on top of the Mizbeach. There's a discussion in the Gemara whether the top of the Mizbeach is Tzofen or not Tzofen. Where is the Mizbeach located? So it would appear, that's what Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin says, it would appear from the Chumash that at that time there was no requirement to shecht. The practice was used to shecht. When they brought Karbonus, La Shamayim, they would shecht the carbon on top of the Mizbeach. Then the Malach appears to Avram Avinu and says, Al Tishloch Yochel Anar, Vatas Lomi Umo, and Avram Avinu sees the Ayel Achar. So one would have thought he's going to take his son off of the Mizbeach, and then he's going to put the Ayel on top and shecht the Ayel on top of the Mizbeach. So Shaul Leib Diskin understood that Medrash as saying he left his son on the Mizbeach. He thought maybe there's some mistake. Maybe he is supposed to be a Korban. So he left because he had a Nevuah. Haldei Hosham Le'Oilah. So he leaves his son on the Mizbeach, and then he takes the Ayel and he shechts the Ayel B'Tzofen HaMizbeach. So that's what the Medrash says. And then the Baruch Shalom said, no, there's no mistake. The Malach said, no mistake. Take your son off. You're not supposed to be makriv him on the Mizbeach. So the shechting, the idea to shecht the korban al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafayna, like Avram Avinu did, reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Avram Avinu that he thought, even after the Malach tells Matish al Yerech HaLanar, he didn't take his son down. He thought maybe still one would run. He would eagerly take his son down. No, he thought maybe there's some misunderstanding now. This Nevuah seems to contradict the original Nevuah. So he leaves his son on the Mizbeach instead of taking it off right. He leaves his son on the Mizbeach and he shechts the Ayel B'Tzofen HaMizbeach. So that's why when we shecht Kotchi Kotchim on the side of the Mizbeach, not on top of the Mizbeach, that brings to mind Avram Avinu's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was prepared to leave his son there on the Mizbeach until he heard clearly that he should take him down. When the Misnagdim, when the Vilna Goyen made a cherem against the Hasidim, there was a major machlokes. So the story goes, could be it's not true, but the story goes that when they brought the cherem to Rav Chaim Volozhin to sign, and the Vilna Goyen had signed it, so he said he's not going to sign. So he said, what do you mean you're not going to sign? But your rabbi. So he said, if the Rebbe would be here and tell me to sign, if the Vilna Gaon would come, tell me to sign, I'll sign. But the Shliach is here. The Shliach, I don't have to listen to the Shliach to make a cherem against the Hasidim. So he pointed out that seems to be the story over here by the Akedah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram Avinu and he tells him, Kachnas Binchas Chitcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in person and reveals himself to Avram Avinu and tells him, I want you to bring your son as a Korban Akedah. Then the Malach appears and he tells him, don't to say not to shecht, not to kill someone, you can believe in Malach, but to say yes to kill someone, that has to be directly from the Rebbe Shlomo. So that's how they say the Rav Chaim Volozhin said to sign a cherem against the Hasidim means to kill them, going to put them a cherem is a curse that they should drop dead. So he says, if the Rebbe tells me in person I have to sign, I'll sign. But the Shliach comes, the Malach comes, he tells me to sign, he's not going to sign. So the Hasidim claim that that's why Rav Chaim Volozhiner was rewarded. That's their version of the story. And in Lithuania, the big yichus was the Beis Harab. Beis Harab means those who are descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It's not a yichus. Those who are descendants from the Vilna Gaon. Descendants from the Vilna Gaon, he has some descendants who are not Shomer Mitzvahs, not Shomer Shabbos. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner's descendants, they were the famous Beis Harab, the Soloveitchik family, and as many others. They're known as Beis Harab, descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So the Hasidim attribute that, that's the reward that Rav Chaim Volozhiner got because he refused to sign the Cherem against the Hasidim. The historical question about the story is that they have the original copy of the Cherem, the handwritten copy, and it was written in the handwriting of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So apparently he was the one who wrote the Cherem. So what do you mean he didn't want to sign it? This fellow, Yossi Buxbaum, who used to be the head of Machon Yerushalayim and passed away at a very young age, 2-3 years ago, he used to be a collector of Kisvei Yad, a lot of old Svarim and Kisvei Yad. So he claimed he had the original Ksav Yad of the Cher, and he says it was written in the hand, and they ascertained that that was the handwriting of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So this is a famous story, but it's...
His name wasn't signed on it?
No. They know that his name was not signed, but they say that it was in his... in his handwriting. During the period of the Bali HaTaisvis, they lived through, or some of them died through, the Crusades. Rabbi Natan was almost killed. Many Bali HaTaisvis were killed. Al-Kiddush Hashem. So during the period of the Crusades, they pressured many Jews to convert, and they threatened they're going to kill them unless they convert. So it was a very common practice, which is recorded in the Balei HaTosfos on Parshas Noach. At the end of Parshas Noach, you have the pasuk that one is not permitted to commit suicide. Achaz dimchem l'nashar sech medrash. After the Mabul, the pasuk says that even though the Tzelem Elokim was ruined, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring a Mabul because they had ruined their Tzelem Elokim. Even though the Tzelem Elokim was on a lower madrega, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still repeats the din. He's still not allowed to murder. Prohibition of murder is based on the fact that all human beings were created by Tzelem Elokim. So even though the Tzelem Elokim was huklash, it was upgeschwacht, it was weaker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats the Yisr Ritzicha and he repeats the Yisr of suicide. So on that pasuk, there's a famous essay, a whole paragraph by the Daz Kedem of Bali HaTosfos, but it's recorded in other places as well. That at the time that the Crusader was traveling through France and Germany, through Europe, many of the Bali HaTosfos would kill their own children because they were afraid that children would convert to Christianity to save their life. And they would shecht them with a knife and they would say the bracha, shekadoshana b'mitzosu v'tzivana v'alashchita. So many said, you're not allowed to do that. You have to give up your life, al kiddush Hashem, but you're not allowed to kill someone else. There's an iser itzicha to kill someone else. And there's an issue of suicide when it comes to Yehorek Val Yavri, not a lot of worship of it, Azori. You have to give up your life. That's suicide you have to do. But to kill someone else to prevent them from worshiping Avodah Zarah, what was the hetter? So it was a common practice, and many Baliat, many were opposed. Many said that it's Keneged Adin, to say a bracha, Sheker Ejonim, the mitzvah, so it's Ivan, Wallah Shchita, for sure. It should be a bracha Levaton. But that's recorded in history, and this is based on the story of the Akedah. That we see that we're obligated to follow the mitzvahs of Torah. If it's clear to us, it was clear to them that that's what they're mechuyev to do, they would kill their own children. They would kill their own children. A person has to have love for the members of his family. You have to love your wife. It says, you have to love all the Jews, but not all to the same extent. I don't have an obligation to love my next door neighbor's wife to the same extent that I love my wife. There are different levels of v'hafta l'racha kamoicha. You have to love your wife and your children and so on more than you love everybody else's wife and everybody else's children. So there is a din hafta l'racha, but there's a din v'hafta sashem alkecha b'chol levavcha. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So what does it mean b'chol levavcha? B'chol levavcha, with all of your heart. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlek is satanayim. Ishkiyaka kol nefesh adam, most yumas. It says kol nefesh adam. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanaim. How do you translate the word kol nefesh? Kol dehu of the nefesh, a little bit of the nefesh, or kol nefesh, the made is the entire nefesh. The Gemara has a machlokes satanaim. One person comes and he beats someone to death, and he's going to die within 24 hours. The other guy comes and he beats him more, he's going to die within 12 hours. Then the other one comes and he beats him again. And finally, the 10th one comes and he beats him, and he dies right after. So is the last one chayiv misa or not? He only killed kol dehu of the nefesh. He didn't kill kol ha-nefesh. So that's a machlokes hadaraim. Whether ishkiyak kol nefesh or that means a kol dehu of the nefesh, a little bit, or kol ha-nefesh, the entire nefesh. So we paskin potter. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in a sefer nefesh ha-chaim, even according to the Tan who says kol dehu, not that the first one is chayiv misa, the last one is chayiv misa. I, the first one killed kol dehu of the nefesh. No, kol dehu refers to the last kol dehu of the nefesh, not the first kol dehu. So if we have a mitzvah of we have to say Hashem lakecha b'chol levavcha, mean he may say kol levavcha means kol dehu. It doesn't mean with your whole heart. No, but then Rav Chaim Volozhiner says it refers to the last kol dehu. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, where is there room to love your wife and your children? Where's the room to do v'yahavta l'racha kamoicha? The answer is that's part of Avas Hashem. We have to demonstrate our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by showing love for all the Jewish people. The Baruch Shalom wants that. We're all one big family. We should show love to our wives and love to our children and love to all our fellow Jews. That's part of Avas Hashem. But let's say you have let's say sometimes people have children who are not observant. So you have to love your children who are not observant to the same extent that one loves the children who are observant. No. You have to, as part of the love, you have to show love for those children also. Maybe you have to try to see to it that they should be chayzer b'tshuva. And if you'll show sinner towards them, so maybe you push them further away. But you have to figure out how to deal with it. It's not just that the parents have to show unlimited love for their children. No, the love is supposed to be part of the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Years ago, 50 years ago, during the McCarthy era, 60 years ago, I forgot already when it was. So they were trying to discover anyone who had any connection with a communist. If you ever spoke to anyone, or spoke to anyone who spoke to anyone who was a communist, so you would lose your job. They were dropping people right and left. So the Shiloh, some of the people Taka were, some of the people were spying for Russia, some of the people were communists. So it was a big pilpul at that time. Is it obligatory or is it improper to mess around your own wife? I know that my wife is spying on the American government and giving the secrets over to the communists, to Russia, and there's a war going on, there's a Cold War going on. So is your love for your wife supposed to, or your children, whatever, your family, is that supposed to be uppermost? And you're not like, you can't master your wife to the government? Or do you say, no, the country comes before them. So the love for the wife and the love for the children is not supposed to be unlimited. That's what the Akedah tells us. We have to love our children as a chelek of Avos Hashem. And if the Baruch Shem tells us he wants us to shech the child, they're supposed to shech the child. There is a medrash, one of the non-Jewish philosophers wrote a whole book describing Avraham Avinu on the occasion of the Akedah, that he was shaking and trembling and he didn't know what to do. There is a medrash that describes it like that. There is a Jewish medrash, not just the Nochri described like that. There is a Jewish medrash that describes like that. The Balei Musa quote that medrash. He was shaking. What do you mean? But he's a human being. How can I do it? But he kept on going back and forth. Baruch Shalom commanded me. There is such a famous medrash. I don't think it's so obvious. Some of the Balei Musa say, Avraham Avinu slept well that night. Vayashkem Avraham Abake, he went to sleep the day before. He slept all night long. He woke up in the morning. He wasn't shaken at all. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes this, Vayashkem Avraham Abaker, that it means he had a good night's sleep, he wasn't disturbed, he wasn't shaking at all. And that he doesn't agree with this. He says, you find the expression Vayashkem, where people stayed up all night also. Vayashkem just means he starts to function early in the morning. Doesn't necessarily mean that he had a good night's sleep. The Pashto says that he was shaking. How can you say that a father is not going to be shaking when he's supposed to. He had such mesiras nefesh for the Baruch Shalom. He didn't have any human feelings at all. How can that be? I don't think there are any midrashim that say that Bali Musa developed this whole idea. He wasn't shaking at all. He wasn't afraid of anything. The midrashim say he was trembling. He was shaking. He was conflicted, but he knew that he has to do Ratzon Hashem. I don't think we're mechuyev to accept what the Bali Musa said, that he wasn't shaking at all. And ayalacha means there's an aisle, this is an aisle, it's all the same. How can you say this is the same? He's killing his own son. He knew that this, he knew Seichel dictated that he has to do the Ratzon Hashem. But Mistame, he was conflicted. A normal person has to be conflicted. The Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBchira writes about the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. So in one parak, he starts off, Mokam HaMizbech M'chuvan B'yoser. The Mizbech has a specific place where it has to be. That is the location where the Akedah took place. That is the location where, after the Mabul, Noach brought Karbonis. There are those who say the whole story of the Mabul never happened. The whole thing is just the Bava Maisa, and the Torah just recorded a Bava Maisa to teach the lesson. The Rambam writes history. He says, we are Makar Karbonis in the same location where Noach brought the Karbonis after the Mabul, and that is the location where Cain and Hevel brought the Karbonis. And our tradition has it, our historical tradition has it, that other Marishan brought Karbonis. The Gemara says, the Sita of Hashem Mishor Por, it refers to the Karbon that other Marishan brought. Then the Rambam says, and our tradition has it, Vayikachofa Minhu Adoma. It says in Parshas Bereishis, when Hashem created Adam Arishon, so he took Ofa Minhu Adoma. What is the connotation? So Rashi Achumis quotes this Medrash, and the Rambam puts it into his historical background of the Mizbeach. Ofa Minhu Adoma means, Imizbach Adoma Tasali. The Mizbeach Achitzon was attached to the ground. It was Mamula Ba'adoma. The Mizbeach Apnimi was a Kli. It was not attached to the ground. Mizbech Hazob, and Mizbech Hanachoshes was Mechuba LaKarka. Mizbech HaChitzin had the din of Binyan, and Mizbech HaPanimi had the din of Kli. Different things in the Beis HaMikdash, some were Binyan, some were Kli. So the word Adama appears in Chumash, Mizbech Adama Tassali, is at the end of Parshas Yisroi. So the word appears here in Parshas Bereishis, V'ikach Ofer Minhu Adama, Mimokam HaMizbech, Alavai Shetei Lo Kapora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from Ofer Min Adama, that he should be able to redeem himself. Man should be able to purify himself. We were all created with b'chira choshes. We have the ability to sin, and we have the ability to pull ourselves out from sin and to do tshuva. B'chira choshes means you have the ability to sin. It doesn't mean you have the right to sin. There's another, this same rabbi who considers himself an Orthodox rabbi, who wrote that Avraham Avinu failed the test of the Akedah. He printed another essay that that Chira Chavshis means God gave us the right to sin. That's not what it means. He gave us the ability to choose to sin or to do mitzvahs or aveiros. And if we do aveiros, we're going to burn in Gehenna. He tells us, Schar v'yonesh. He doesn't give us the right to sin. We don't have the right to sin. There was an essay in a recent commentator, apparently, about the administration considering the possibility of filtering the use of the internet that they give you. The yeshiva pays for all the students to have the ability to use the internet, so they don't want to use the internet for improper purposes. So someone wrote an essay in the newspaper, I think, and there was a whole pilpul among the students. What right do they have to do that? We have b'chira chavshes. What do you mean? You have b'chira chavshes. You have the ability to sin, but you don't have the right to sin. B'chira chavshes means, that's what this Orthodox rabbi wrote. B'chira chavshes means you have the right to choose to sin. You have the ability to sin, and you're going to burn a Gehenna if you sin. The Rambam writes, the tradition has it, Makam HaMizbech M'chuvim B'yoseh, this specific location is where the Mizbech of the Akedah was, that's where the Mizbech of Noach was after the Mabul, that was the location for the Mizbech of Cain and Hevel, that was the Makam HaMizbech where Adam Rishon brought the Korban, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has such a tradition, the Sita V'al Hashem Mishor Por is the Korban that Adam Rishon brought, and that's the Makam HaAdama, V'yikach Chafim Min Adama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, halamai shetei lo kapora. The man, that's the definition of Adam. Man has b'chira chavshes, and he has, b'chira chavshes means he has the ability to cleanse himself. He has the ability to sin, and he has the ability to straighten himself out after sinning. We don't say, you have the right, you have the ability to choose to do right or wrong. Once you chose to do wrong, then you're stuck. No, you have the ability to undo it, and to do tshuva. It's a little unclear. Rav David Karlina has here. Dovid Karlina has was a famous goyin in the early 1900s. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Chaim Oizer, they were very enamored of Rav David Karlina. The other yeshivas, they use the sefer on the Rambam Hilchos Ishos Piskei Halachos. Here, now it's out of style. Nobody uses it anymore. Rav Chaim's Derech Halibut has conquered all the yeshivas. So his style is it's Kodem Matan Torah. His sefer is before Rav Chaim came on the scene. But he was a goyin adir. He was an original thinker. And he had a lot of original ideas. He has a volume of Shadas and Chuvas called Shelas David. His name was David Karlina, David Friedman. So at that time there was a discussion about the possibility of building a mizbech and bringing Korban Pesach in the Makom Amigdosh. Everyone had something to say. So he wrote a whole essay about it also. So in his essay, he writes he's not sure. He raises the question, he's not sure. When the Rambam writes, Makom HaMizbech Mukhuvim BeYoser, you can't just put the Mizbech anywhere in the Azar. It has to be Dafka, that location. So is that Liyikuva? That if you made a Mizbech in a different location in the Azar, came back a Mizbech in Be'er Sheva, the Mizbech has to be in the Azara. Then maybe Lechatchila, the more correct place to put it, is HaMakom HaMukhuvim, and that location where the Mizbech was for the Akedah, and Kain and Hevel and Noach and so on. But maybe B'diyevet, if you bring a korban on a mizbech in a different location in the Azara, it'll also be good. And maybe it's even likuvah. He thinks it's likuvah. So that's a discussion that he raised that others have. But l'chatchila for sure, they certainly didn't like that. Makom HaMizbech M'chulim B'yosef, we have to bring the korbanos on this location. This is, Avraham Avinu did the right thing. He didn't do the wrong thing. And that's why that location has special significance. Not just because Kain and Hevel and Adam Arishon brought korbanos, because Avraham Avinu passed the test with flying colors. He was prepared to do the Akedah at that location. The Mishnah says in the second Perek in Tainus that on a Tainus Tzibur they would put ashes on the heads of the Rabbonim and the heads of all of the people. So the Gemara is not sure what is the reason behind it. Is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should want to remind the Ribbono Shel Olam, you want to invoke all the brachas that were given to the Jewish people, the haftachas that were given on the occasion of the Akedah. So we have ashes, even though Yitzchak was never burned, but the isle was burned, tachas Yitzchak Meno. So it's considered as if, afresh le Yitzchak, tzor ha-munach, lefon ha-bagabi ha-mizbeach. That's how Rashi quotes the Loshen from the Tanoim. It says at the end of the Teuchecha, in B'chul Kaisai, Zechate is B.C. Yaakov, afresh B.C. Yitzchak, afresh B.C. Avraham Eskor, v'horetz Eskor. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, why does it say B'zacharti is B'si Yaakov? Rav is B'si Avraham Eskor. It says the verb Zechira by Yaakov and by Avraham, and by Yitzchak it doesn't say Zechira. So Rashi quotes the answer from the Medrash. I don't have to remember that there's a computer? I don't even know what it is. These are Gemara, these I know. I don't have to remember that there's a Gemara on the table. It's under my nose. Here it is. I don't have to remember that there's a Chumash. I see it. I remember I left my Gemara downstairs in the base Medrash. If I don't see it, I remember. But whatever is in front of my eyes, I don't have to remember. It's there. So Yitzchak, the Rebbe Shalom, doesn't have to remember. Afrishal Yitzchak, Sover Munach, Lefonav, Agabi, Hamizbeach. Rebbe Shalom doesn't have to remember Yitzchak. He's there. His ashes are there. Avraham and Yaakov passed away, and they're not Lefonav, not in the presence of the Rebbe Shalom, so he has to remember them. So what do you mean? The Medrash has the expression, Afrishal Yitzchak. There was no Afrishal Yitzchak. He was never offered on the Mizbeach. The answer is, our tradition has it that the Ayel Achanechas Basrach Bekarnov was Tachas Beno, so the ashes of the Ayel are considered as if they were the ashes of Yitzchak. So the ashes are there. So the Gemara has two suggestions. Why was the practice on the Tanis Tzibur that they would put ashes on the head? Is it to invoke all of the blessings and all the promises that the Baruch Shalom gave on the occasion of the Akedah, and the ashes are to remind the Kodesh Baruch of the ashes of the Akedah? Or is it no to remind human beings, offer atabel, offer toshuv, we're nothing, we're all going to die, so what are we sinning about? So the Gemara says, what's the difference whether this is the reason or that's the reason? The Shad is they have to have dafke ashes from a fire, or is offer also good? So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't say explicitly, just say ashes. They say efer. They don't discuss it. The Gemara has a shaila. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't discuss this nafkamina, but they say ashes. So the Pashto says that we assume we are invoking the brachas and the haftachas that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave on the occasion of the Akedah. All the stories of the Ovis are recorded in the Chumash that we should learn out halachas. The Gemara learns out various halachas from the Akedah. The Gemara has in the beginning of Psochem, Vayashkim Avraham Aboker, he woke up early in the morning, Mikan Shezviz Magdim LeMitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Milik Shera Kol HaYom Kula. The Yom HaShmini is a Mila Bizmana, so you can do Bris Mila 5 minutes before the Shkia, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to do the Bris Mila, the earliest opportunity, within reason. Within reason doesn't mean you have to daven. The Mishnah says that b'di'evit, if you do the mila, has to be done by yom. You can't do mila b'alayla. So b'di'evit, if you perform the mila before zricha, before sunrise, after alos hashach, and the Mishnah says in Megillah, b'di'evit would be good. But l'chatchila, some hold l'chatchila deraisa, some hold l'chatchila derabbana. L'chatchila, you shouldn't perform the bris mila before hanetzachama. So they have collection of stories of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Reubach, that one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz is a character. One of the Hesdi Yeshivas, a big character. So his wife had a baby boy many years ago, 40 years ago, his wife had a baby boy, and he wanted to do Zeriz Magadim Mitzvah, so he wanted to make a Hashkama Minyan. They're going to daven Vasikin, and they're going to have the Bris Mamish 5 minutes after sunrise. They're going to daven Chazoras Hashat quickly. And he wanted Rabbi Shlomo Zalman to be the Sandik. So he invited Rabbi Shlomo Zalman to come to the bris, to be the Sandik. So he said, where's he going to be? In Yerushalayim. Okay. So then he said, well, we're going to daven Vasikin. We're going to that. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, so you get a different Sandik. Nice knowing you. Mazel tov. Get yourself a different Sandik. It's within reason. Okay. So he's making them, it's within reason. Doesn't mean you have to make yourself crazy and you don't sleep all night long. But we learn out the halacha from Avraham Avinu. This is Magdim in the mitzvahs. It says he took Vaikach Samachelas, Vaikach Biyado Eish Machelas, he took a Machelas. So the Gemara learns that two dinim from this fact that Avraham Avinu took a Machelas. The two dinim seem to be contradictory, it's problematic. One din is when you shech the korban, you have to have a kli. If you just have a sharp instrument, it's no good because a Machelas means a knife. Then the Gemara learns that another din, when you shech tchulin, when you shech the behemoth tchulin, you cannot shech, you don't need a kli, but it has to be dava hatolush. You can't shech with a dava hamechuba lekarka. So this is a problem. How can you learn out two things from the same pasuk that contradict each other? You're learning out that shechitas kachim needs a kli. Shechitas chulin does not need a kli, but this is a shechitas kachim. You learn out that shechitas chulin needs tolush. So, madam shech, how can you learn? It's problematic. I don't know. I don't remember that the Rishayim or the Achranim even ask it. Every year, I always wonder about that. How can you learn out two dinim that seem to be contradictory? The Ramban HaChumash asks, why did he have to schlep? He was traveling, Yom HaShlishi, he was traveling for 3 days till he finally see. Yom HaShlishi, he saw Ramasena, Vayaris HaMokam Be'erachok. So it says that he was schlepping all the way, he was schlepping wood. He was schlepping logs. There are no trees on the way. He had to schlep logs for 3 days. The Machelis is light, but why did he schlep so many logs? So the Ramban quotes, Ramban Chumash quotes, that there are halachas, Mishnai say, that if you have a log that has worms in it, so you're not allowed to use it like a balmum. Look, just like a korban that's a balmum is not acceptable. So the logs that have teloim in them are also considered like balimumin. So he picked logs that he knew were acceptable for the purpose of akrabas akarbanim. So he had to schlep it. He wasn't going to rely on the fact that he's going to buy some logs over there. There are going to be stores selling logs. There are going to be farmers selling logs. He said he was afraid the logs may not be kosher for hakrab hagabi hamizbeach. The Gemara has the famous din that's derived. It says that he took shnei ne'arim, took two ne'arim. So the Gemara has a tradition that at least one of them was an Eved Kenani. Eliezer Eved Avram, one of them was an Eved. And then when they're about to go, Avram and Yitzchak are about to go to do the Akedah, so he tells the two, Avorim Shvulachem Poyem Achamar, you should stay here. So the Gemara has a tradition that from this pasuk be derived a din that Eved Kenani is Am Adoyim Alachamar. So just like Behemoths don't have Yachas, Chamor has no yachas, so too, Eved Kenani ain lo yachas. Eved Kenani has no yachas in two ways. Eved Kenani, he's Mekadosh and Isha, ain Kedushin Tovsin. or if Avignani marries a Yisraelis, or let's say a Yisrael marries a Shivcha Knainis, ain't Kedushin Tovsin, because you have no yachas between a husband and a wife, because one is an Avignani and one is not. And even between the two Avodim Knainim, the Gemara says there's a Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, later in Yevamos, in Perek HaBol Yevimtoi, you have the end of Perek HaBol Yevimtoi, you have the mitzvah Piri Rivya is discussed. So Gemara has a Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, what's the din if a Nochri had a son and a daughter, Ben Ochri Yuso, and then he converts? So do we say Gershon has got cut in Shinol Adami? That's what I would have said, like Reish Lakish, but they didn't give me a vote. So Reish Lakish said, and he was outvoted. Rabbi Yochanan said not so. I would have said Gershon has got cut in Shinol Adami. He said, it's not my children. So how can I be Yetzir Piri Rivya? The children are not mine. Then I'm Misyachas after me. So the Gemara says, since Ben Ochri Yuso, they were Misyachas after him, even though now they convert, you say Kot and Shinol Adami, but is Yetzir Piri Rivya with those children? It's a question. The Rambam says, if the children convert with him, if the children also convert. So the Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam understands the Svara Pshuta, that you're not Yetzir Piri Rivya with non-Jewish children. So you're only Yetzir if the father converts and the son and the daughter convert as well. And the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer quotes those who say, no, the Rama meant to say, even if the children convert. So there's a double Kikotin Shinol Adami. The father converted and the children converted. So each one is moving away from each other. He's still Yeyotzepir, Yekabachaymer, if they remain non-Jews, and they don't convert to become Jewish, so you're certainly Yeyotze. So it's a question how to understand the Rama, how to understand the Gemara. The Nochri is Yeyotzepir, with the bottom Hoyol Abonim and Nochri Yusuf in his Gaia, Yeyotze, only if Nizgairu Imo, is that what the Rama meant? That's how the Magen Mishnah understands it. Poshep Shat, probably. And the others say, no, Afilu Nizgairu Imo. So the Gemara says, that's only this, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have the Machlokes, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that's only Hoyol Abonim Ben Ochri Yuso. But let's say there was an Eved who had a son and a daughter. The Eved is living with the Shivcha Knainis. He has a son and a daughter, and then he converts. The Odom is Meshachrahim, and he converts. Then the Gemara says it's not Yotze with the children that he had. Hoyol Abonim Biyoso Eved, because Eved ain't lo Yachas. The Eved doesn't even have not only the Eved doesn't have Yachas to the Yisraelis, if he's Mekadosh and Isha, he doesn't have Yachas even to his own children. Ain't lo Yachas, so you're not Yotze Pir Rivya with those children. That's all learned out from this pasuk. Eved ain't lo Yachas. The Minchas Chinuch has on the mitzvah of Pir Rivya, the first mitzvah, he discusses this. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Eved muta be'ima umuta be'bito. Normally a person is not permitted to marry his mother or his daughter. So the Gemara says, Eved muta be'ima umuta be'bito. He's allowed to live with his mother, he's allowed to live with his daughter. So he shows, the Minchas Chinuch shows that there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam on the Gemara. What does that mean? So the Rambam learns, an Eved shen is gayer. A Nochri Shen is Gayer, strictly speaking, is also allowed to marry his mother and his sister and his daughter, because Katan Shen Aladami, and Ataritz Mutter, but the Gemara has an Yivamis in the Sanhedrin, but the Rabbanan, it's not allowed. For various reasons, two different reasons, a long Taisvus in the end of Yivamis and the end of Sanhedrin. But an Eved, Shen Ishtachrer, an Eved, Kozman, he's an Eved, he's not allowed to live with his mother and his sister. That's his mother, that's his sister, that's his daughter, not allowed to. But once the Eved is nishtachrer, then you say Kikot and Shinol Adami. So they never introduced this Chumrah. The Chumrah they introduced by Ager Shenizgair, the Kroivus Ager, he's not allowed to marry Medi Rabbanan. So they never introduced that Chumrah by the Kroivus of an Eved Shenishtachrer. That's how the Rambam learns. And the Rashi seems to learn, the Yoso Eved, no one was nishtachrer. We'd never applied Kikot and Shinol Adami. Eved mutar be'ima mutar be'bito, that Eved ain't lo yachas. So Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that Minchas Chinuch, that it's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rama, how far do you go when you say Eved ain't lo yachas? There are two types of yachas. There's yachas of Sheir Bosar, and there's yachas of Mishpocha. Sheir Bosar is both the father's side and the mother's side. It's called Sheir Bosar. The Pasuk says, Ishi shall call Sheir Bosar l'sikavu l'galas erbo. The forbidden marriages, the relatives whom you're not allowed to marry in Achar Mois Kedoshim, are referred to as Sher Bosa, because it includes relatives from the mother's side, relatives from the father's side. Whenever there's a din of Mishpacha, So then we apply the pasuk in the beginning of Bamidbar, Mishpachas Avkri, Mishpacha, Mishpachasim, Enikri, Mishpacha. So here apparently there's a machlekes, Rashi and the Rambam, when you say Eben Ein Lo Yachas, he doesn't even have a Yachas of Sher Basar. So that's how Rashi learns. Eben Mutabim and Mutabibita be also Eved. He doesn't even have a, not only doesn't have Mishpacha with his family, he doesn't even have the Kurva of Sher Basar either. And the Rambam splits and distinguishes. The Rambam thinks Shebosa there is, Bioso Evid, is also Bima and also Bibito. If the Evid will be Nishtachrer, and then you say Kikot and Shanala Dami, so the Gzera de Rabbanon that they introduced by Kroivis Ager was never, the Rambam learned that's a pshat, was never introduced by the Kroivis of the Evid Kanaini. But Biodo Evid, and no one was Nizgair, no Kikot and Shanala Dami, the Rambam holds the Eved does have a yichus of Sher Basar, just doesn't have a yichus of Mishpacha. This is relevant for other halachas, the difference between yichus of Sher Basar and yichus of Mishpacha. The Sameach has the comment on the Rambam in Hilchus Beis Abchira. Rambam describes you have the Azara, then you have Harabayis, Machne Levi, and then you have Yerushalayim, it's like Machne Yisrael. So then the Rambam quotes the Mishnayis and Shavuos, that Mosif and Aluhi are all Azaras. You have Mishnayis and Sanhedrin. If the Bezim wants it, they can expand. They can add on to Kedushas Yerushalayim. They can add on to Kedushas Azara. So the Rambam writes an original Chiddush. We don't know what the marker is. The Rambam writes, the Bezin has the, and there's a procedure. You have to bring special korbanos, and they have to have recite prokem and tehillim, and so on. Bezin on kodol has to be involved. The Bezin on kodol has to be involved. So the Rambam writes, he can be moisif onto the Kedushas Hazara as much as you want from the Harabayis. So the Rambam seems to imply clearly that you can't expand Kedushas Hazara past Harabayis. It can't go past Harabayis. So the commentaries wonder, where did the Rambam get that from? So the Haris Sameach and his commentary on the Rambam thinks that it's based on the pasuk at the end of the Akedah, that it says, Bahar Hashem Yeroi. He's talking the Har. So since there's an emphasis on the Har, so he thinks this is the Mokum Akrovus Akrabonis, the Mokum of the Akedah, in the future is going to be Shem Yeroi Hashem Ahem, Bahar Hashem Yeroi. In the future, Karbonis will be brought here. So the Rambam understood the Azara cannot be expanded past the location of the Har Hashem. That mountain is called the Har Hashem. At the beginning of the parsha, you see the significance of the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. The Gemara Masecha Shabbos talks about the Gedolah Hachnasas Orchim, Yosef Mehagbolas Panei Hashchino, that Avram Avinu has a Mara HaNevuah, Vayere Elov Hashem Be'elonim Amrei, the Shechina is there, and then Avram Avinu sees Shlosh HaNoshim, he thought that they were human beings, he didn't realize that they were angels, and he leaves the Ribbono Shel'Olam behind, and he runs to greet the guests. The Gemara says, you see from the Pasuk, that G'dayla Achnos HaSach Mi'esim HaGbolos Panei Hashchina. The Velt asked the Kasha, so we know because that's what Avram Avinu did. How did Avram Avinu know that that's the right thing to do? Isn't that a chutzpah? He decided on his own. How did he know? So the Velt says that the Rambam in Hilchus Yisera Torah writes, one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Hamuna is that we believe in the institution of Nevuah, and number two, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim, the greatest of all the prophets. What is the relevance of the fact, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu got the A+. He got the Nevuah award when he graduated. There's a Nevuah award. So what does it mean, Adon HaNevim? So the Rambam says, no, it's not just an A+. And the Rambam writes specific details. Halacha l'maaseh, the difference is between the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other prophets. So one of them is that when Moshe Rabbeinu will have a prophecy, it will be kedaber ish al reyehu, like one person talks to another calmly, and the person doesn't collapse when he talks. The other Nevi'im would faint when they would nofel or glu yinayim. They would faint in the presence of the Shechinah. So Avraham Avinu, whenever he got a Nevuah, he would be totally knocked out unconscious and he didn't know what was happening around him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu, he's totally unconscious, he faints. So all of a sudden he sees three human beings. How can it be? But he never had Bahakits. He always had Nevuah Bachalom, not Bahakits. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Ador Hanavim, he had Nevuah Bahakits. How can it be? So he understood the Ribbono Shel Olam is removing himself from me to enable me to see these guests. Obviously, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants me to greet the guests because it never happened before, never happened after. It never happened after that, he doesn't know yet, but it never happened before. In the past, when he had Nevuah, his experience always was that he was totally unconscious, didn't know, didn't see anything that's happening. So from the fact that he was able to discern, he understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam is misalik the Nevuah in order that he should greet the guests. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe this was taka also a test for Avraham Avinu to see. Avraham Avinu thought that they were human beings, to see if he will treat the people, he thought they were people, whether he will give them kavod abrius, will he show kavod abrius to greet the guests, or will he say, no, he's busy now with the shechina, so he's going to forget about the people. And he passed the test. The test is supposed to be that you are supposed to be mafsik. You are supposed to be mafsik with the kabbalas p'nei ha-shechina in order to do the hachnas ha-sorchim. The Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's pshat in the din. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi, learns that from the pasuk v'dibarta bum, that says in Kriya Shema. So the pashim pshat v'dibarta bum means you should talk and learning. V'dibarta bum v'loy b'dvar b'teilem. You should talk and learning. You shouldn't talk kesicha b'teilem. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. V'dibarta bum, you should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. You should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. So the Tanoim learned that from that pasuk v'dibarta bum. If somebody comes into shul and they don't realize that you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, they say, good morning, good Shabbos, and they're going to feel offended if you don't respond. So the Gemara says, sometimes there's a heta to respond in the middle of a parsha, between one parsha and the other. There are differences, the Mishnayos, the Machlokes, the Meir, Abuda, to what extent, the Pnei Akova and the Pnei Ayira. Sometimes you have a heta to even to initiate the greeting. Sometimes you only have a heta to respond if he greets you first. So what's the moral of the story? That you mafsik kabbalas p'nei ha-shechina in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, kabbalas amach ha-shamayim. So you have to be mafsik in the middle of kabbalas p'nei ha-shechina for kavod rabbis for the human beings. Tosfos does not understand the din like that. Tosfos comments are not Gemara. What if a person in the middle of Kriya Shema, he's davening slowly or whatever, he came late to shul, and the chazan is ready up to Kedusha, or the chazan is up to... He's there from the first minyan, chazan, and the second minyan is up to borchu. Or they're up to kriya sator, borchu. The answer borchu, the answer omen yehei shmei rab in the middle of kriya shma. So Tosfos says that's considered mepnei hayira. Because you have to have moira yira shamayim, so the answer borchu, the answer kedusha, the answer dovish of kedusha is called mepnei hayira. The way Rav Soloveitchik was suggesting, that's not what it's all about. It's the idea of gedola kovarabrius of human beings takes precedence over the Kabbalah's Pnei Hashechina. Sometimes not. The halacha is, v'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo. The Gemara says, v'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo. What does that mean? The Gemara has such a comment in Yuma, Daf Yutes. So Tosfos learns Pshat, v'dibarta bam, the hetet to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, to be mafsik, v'pnei akovim, v'pnei ayira, only applies in the middle of Kriya Shema. There's no hetet to be mafsik in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, v'pnei akovim, v'pnei ayira. So, even though, strictly speaking, that should be G'dayla Hachnos, the Sorchin, Yes, Me'akbalas P'nei Hashechina, so sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. We emphasize the importance of Kavod Abrius, the Greek people who shouldn't feel hurt, shouldn't feel insulted, in the middle of Kriya Shema, but in the middle of Shema Nesu, that's too much. We don't allow. That's what the Pasuk tells us. We don't allow Hepsik in the middle. So the Parsha begins with the significance of the Hachnos, the Sorchin. In the Shulchan Aruch, in the Hilchos Shabbos, the Rama quotes some of the coolest that you have because of Achnas HaZorchim, but then he quotes the Rishonim to explain what's the definition of Achnas HaZorchim. It doesn't mean we all live in this neighborhood, and I invite you over one Friday night, you invite me over the other Friday night. So that's not Achnas HaZorchim. Achnas HaZorchim means a tramp comes to shul, a poor man, and he looks, and he's starved, and he's not related to anybody in the neighborhood, and he's not 100% all there. And it's a rachmanis on him. That's hachnas hazorchim. The guy has no place to eat. That's hachnas hazorchim. But if a big talmid chacham comes to town and everybody's vying who's going to be, that's not hachnas hazorchim. Hachnas hazorchim means the guy has no place to eat and you take him in. but not we're friendly, we're neighbors, and we alternate. One week I invite you, one week you invite me. You have your own food. That's not achnasa zarchem. Or if it's a prominent rabbi comes to town and I invite him over, so he's doing me a favor. He's eating by me. Everybody's going to respect me because he visited by me. That's not achnasa zarchem. Achnasa zarchem when you invite the bum in. The guy comes in and has no other place to eat. So the Haftarah begins. The Haftarah has about, it's a long Haftarah, about Elisha HaNavi. The Haftarah tells about the Isha Shunamis, who was blessed with children in the Schus of Achnasa Sorchim. That's what some explain on Chumash also. The Malbim has that, based on Midrashim, that in the Schus of Achnasa Sorchim, Avram and Sarah were notified that they're going to have a baby. They didn't have children for so long. And the end of Lech Lecha Avram Avinu was already told this. And the beginning of Ayera, but Sarah didn't know. Avram Avinu was told Sarah didn't know. Why didn't he tell her? Apparently a nevuah is supposed to be kept secret unless the Rabban Shalom authorizes you to tell over the nevuah. The Gemara says in Yuma, Vaydav Hashem HaMoshe, Lemar Yisrael. If the Rabban Shalom wouldn't have told Moshe Rabbeinu, Lemar Yisrael, it would have been understood that he's not allowed to share the nevuah. All the mitzvahs, all the tayyag mitzvahs, he wouldn't be allowed to share it with anybody else. So here, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu on last week's Sedra, he's going to have a child, don't worry. So his wife, he already had a child, he had Yishmael, so he didn't feel so bad. Yishmael, I don't need any money. Baruch Hashem said, no, Yishmael is going to live, but Kibi Yitzchak Yikor Lechazah, and he doesn't tell his wife Sarah. She's the one who's aggravated to death. She didn't have any children. Apparently he was never authorized to tell her, so he doesn't tell her till the Malachim come. Malachim told her that she will be blessed with a child. So that's what we say when we bench Geshem, I think we say, in the Schus of Yitzchak, who was Nizbasa B'yukach Nomi Atmayim, in the Schus of Yukach Nomi Atmayim, they were blessed with the baby. In the Schus of Achnas Asarchim, in the Schus of Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim writes like that, in Sefer Avos Chesed, if people want to be blessed with children, he writes, they go to all the doctors all over the world and they invest so much money in doing so many different things. Why don't they do what it says in Tanakh? Why don't they do acts of chesed? If a person does an act of chesed, like Achnasa Sorchem and the like, then he will be blessed with Hatzloche, have children. So that's what it tells in the Haftarah also, that the Isha Shunamis felt bad for Elisha Navi. Elisha Navi used to travel all over Eretz Yisrael to give chizuk, to give drushes to the population. And when he came to the city Shunem, so this woman said, Elisha, she says to her husband, let's make a separate room and have him, so every time he comes, he'll stay by us. So they agreed to that. So then she was married for so many years, she had no child. And then they were blessed with a baby, and the schus of the hachnasa sarchum that they did. That's one of the connections between the parsha and the haftarah. Zohar has a famous comment that's quoted by the Taz and other commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. The Haftarah begins, that's how the Gemara has a tradition. There was an almana, she was Eshes Avadya Hanovi. Her husband was Avadya. And her husband owed a fortune of money. He had borrowed money to hide out. This was during the time of Avachav and Izevel, they were killing all the Nevi'im. So they hid out 100 Nevi'im in two different caves, 50 Nevi'im in one cave, 50 Nevi'im in the other cave. And her husband borrowed a fortune of money. The Gemara even says he borrowed beribis from other Jews who wouldn't lend them shaloi beribis in order to supply food for the Nevi'im. And then he died. And then the Noshabola Kachashnei Allah de Lavadin, they're coming to collect, and she had no money, they're going to take her children. What kind of a din is that? He take the children. That was during the lifetime of Achab and Izevel. They didn't follow Dini HaTorah. They followed the Dini Bnei Noach. They followed the Dini HaGoyim. So in the Chukas HaGoyim, the law was that If the person doesn't pay the money, you take him as a slave. By us, there is no debtor's prison. You don't take a person as a slave. If a person is a ganav, v'nimka b'gnei v'asai. So the Chazal have on that pasuk in Mishpat, v'nimka b'gnei v'asai v'lo b'chovo, Michilta says. If someone owes money, he borrowed money, and he doesn't have money to pay, so you don't sell him as an eved. But that was the practice that they would do. Anosha b'al kach shnei elodim l'avon is going to take away the children. So Elisha Novi asks her, do you have anything in the house? What do you have? She says she has a little bit, a container of oil, so he says she should borrow containers from the neighbors and lock the door and start pouring, and a miracle will occur. She'll keep on pouring. She should sell all the oil, and she'll make a fortune, and that will cover her for the rest of her life. So the Zohar has a comment that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch by the commentaries. Why did he ask her what she has? He should have snapped his finger. He's making a miracle anyway. So snap your finger. She'll have a $1 million bill and show you. Shake your sleeve out. $1 million will come out. Why does he have to ask her what she has? So the Zohar has that comment that the Rabbanu Shalom created the world Yesh Meyayin, Sheshes Mei Breshes. And ever since, Yom HaShviyi Shavas Vayin Afash, it doesn't mean that he rested on the seventh day and then he went back to work the next week. Every week the Rabbanu Shalom works for 6 days and he rests on the seventh day. It doesn't mean that. It means he created Yesh Meyayin 6 days. Uvayom HaShviyi, from the seventh day on, he doesn't create any more Yesh Meyayin. And all the Nisim that happened, everything is Yesh Meyayin. He doesn't create any Yesh Meyayin. So that's why Elisha Navi asks, Mayesh Loch Babois, do you have anything in the house? So she says she has Osok Shaman, a little container of oil. So, okay. So from something that's there, the Rabbanu Shalom will make a Nes that it should expand. So that's why by the Nes Chanukah, that's why we say in Moos Tzur, Minosat Kankanim, there was a little bit of oil that was left over. There was one container of oil, Pach Shemen. So the Pach Shemen burned for 8 days. What do you need the Pach Shemen for? What do you need the Noisa Kankane for? If there wouldn't have been anything, then it would have been a Nes of Yesh Meyesh, and that the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't do that anymore. After the Sheshes Mei Breshes, he only does Yesh Meyesh. He does no Yesh Meyay. So there's an old minig that's mentioned already in the Gemara, that when in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, when you bench Birchas Hamazon, you should leave a little bread on the table. Why? Because you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should continue to supply us with food in the future. So if you have nothing on the table, you ask the Rabbanu Shalom, that's a pasora rekanya. Pasora is a table, rekanya empty. You have an empty table, you ask the Rabbanu Shalom, he should make a give you a bracha, yesh meyayin, there's nothing there. But if you have a little bread, so then it's going to be yesh meyesh. So that the minig that they had from the days of the Tanoim, a very old minig that you should leave some bread on the table on your bench, is to indicate this idea. That the Rabbanu Shalom after the Sheshes Mei Breshes doesn't create any more Yesh Meyayin.
When the Prophet's having lunch and he buys 2 pieces of pizza,
he eats it all up. I don't know. See, we eat at home, so there's always a box of matzahs on the table. There's always food. There's always food around. Yeah.
I thought the crumbs are enough.
Could be.
Crumbs.
Could be. I don't know. There's a character who lives here in the neighborhood. He always comes late to shul. So his father-in-law was always upset about it. So I told him over once, I've heard it. He told his father-in-law, he had a good chuckle. They say that, it's hard to believe, but they say when the Chassam Sofer was a young boy, he used to come late to the davening. He would come after Aleinu. So someone made a comment, Ish Kadosh over Aleinu Tomit. He always misses Aleinu. So this guy comes after Don Olam. He comes after Anim Zmir. He's coming after anything. So I told him to tell his father-in-law, he's a holy man, Ish Kadosh over Aleinu Tomit. He misses Aleinu. The father-in-law was an Ungari Shahid. He liked that, yeah. Then the end of the Haftarah tells about Elisha Novi that he did Chiyas HaMesim on that baby, the Isha Shunamis. The Gemara understands that the baby died and Elisha brought him back to life. And when Eliyahu Novi was going up in the fiery chariot and Elisha Novi requested of him a blessing that he should have Pishnaim Biruchach, he should have double the power of Nevuah of Eliyahu Novi. So the Gemara understands that's and his wish was granted. Eliyahu Novi said, it'll be granted if you see me go up in the fiery chariot. So Eliyahu Novi was only Mechayev one mace, and Elisha is Mechayev two maceim. The Gemara says this is one of the two. The Rambam and the Mor and the Buchim writes against the Gemara. The Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim says that the child only fainted and he gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and he didn't do Tchiyas Hameis. He didn't die. But the Gemara understood that it was an act of Tchiyas Hameis. The Gemara in Brachos in the first perek learns that from Avraham Avinu also. If this dome is destroyed, so it says Avraham Avinu wakes up the next day, and Avraham Avinu was davening the day before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not destroy his dome, even though they were Rishoyim. He's a holy tzaddik, and he wants that they should have the ability to do tshuva. So he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there weren't enough tzaddikim, so the whole city was destroyed. So it says the next day, he goes and Vayashkim Avraham Aboiker, and he goes Alamokam Shamat Sham. He goes to daven in the same location. So the Gemara learns out from that pasuk that a person should always be kaveh makam letvilosik. Should always try to daven in the same location. Years ago here in Broyers, they used to be very rigid on that. If you would be sitting on someone's seat, they would, at least davening Shemana Esrei in that place, they would push you away. Now they mellowed a little bit because there are so many empty seats in the shul, so they mellowed. But it doesn't necessarily mean mamish exactly the same. It means around the same, within Dalaramas. Within Dalaramas called Kaveh Makom Tvilosa. The Gemara has an expression, when such a person passes away and they deliver a eulogy at his funeral, so they should mention this, Hey Chassid Heyonov Tamidu Shal Avraham Avinu. He follows in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. He's very humble. What does this have to do with humility? It's very unclear in the Gemara. Why does this have to do with humility? So the Tzlach has a comment on that Gemara and Brachas. The Tzlach is by the Nerev Yehuda. His comments on the Gemara, Tzion the Nefesh Chaya. Some thought that Nerev Yehuda was very Zionistic and he called his book Tzion. Not Tzion, the Tzion the Nefesh Chaya. I think his mother's name is Chaya. His mother passed away. So this is a memorial, the memory of his mother, or his wife, I forgot whether it's the mother or the wife. So he has on that Gemara and Brachas, he says, arrogant people think that they are so great and they daven so well that they deserve that God has to answer their prayers on the spot, everything they deserve. And humble people sometimes realize, maybe I don't deserve, maybe my prayers are not so lacking a lot of kavana. So the person who's humble will want to daven always in the same location, that this prayer should be connected with all the other tefillahs that I offer in the same place. It should be mitzurf in the schus of all of the tefillahs that I offer. Not just, today I'm going to offer a tefillah, and God has to listen to my prayers. That's what the Gemara calls iyun tefillah. The Gemara says, iyun tefillah is one of the three things that a maskir avenois of shalodim. It's a bad thing. The Torah says, iyun tefillah is a bad thing, it's a good thing. The Torah says there are two different meanings. Iyun tefillah, you pay attention to what you're saying, you know what the pirush amilas is, that's a good thing. Iyun tefillah means, I think my prayers were so good, God is going to have to listen. He's going to have to give me what I request. So that's negative. He thinks that he's such a knacker that he untfilas maskir and abadais of shalom. He's going to open up your records. He's going to think, do you really deserve that your prayer should be answered? So the tzlach thinks that that's the pshat. If he's kaveh makom letfilah, so he wants all of his prayers to be, the prayers that he gives today should be mitzurf with all the other prayers that he offered previously. And the schus of all the prayers, he should be answered. That's how we start the Shemana Esrei. Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why do we mention the others? So some say, the Mishnah says in Yuma, when it was Heir HaMizrach, so they would shech the Korban Tamid way before sunrise, every day of the year, not only Yom Kippur. They would always shech very early in the morning at the crack of dawn. So they would say, Heir Pnei HaMizrach, the guy on top of the roof of the basement would say, Heir Pnei HaMizrach. Then the Kohen in the basement would scream out, Ache Bechevron? They would answer, yes, Heir Pnei HaMizrach, Ache Bechevron. What's the significance of mentioning Ache Bechevron? So the Yerushalmi says, to be masked the schus of Ovis who are buried in Chevron. Like by the Hasidim, they say, that if you just say the name of the city, Berdichev, it's already a schus. Even if you don't mention Rav Levi Yitzchak from Medish, we just mention the name of the city. If you just mention the name Chevron, it's already Yitzchus. So some say that that's why we start off the tefillah by saying Avram Yitzchak Yankiv, that we should invoke the schus of the Yomis. But it means something more than that. The Chazal say that Avram tikkun tefilas shachris, Yitzchak tikkun tefilas mincha, Yaakov tikkun tefilas arvis. And even according to the other opinion, that they weren't misakin the tefilas, but it says in Chumash that they used to daven. So we want our prayers to link up. We are a community of Jews for many, many generations, many, many centuries, and we want our prayers to be combined with all the tefillas of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We stand a better chance of having our prayers answered. Not just we're mentioning Schus Ovis. The Ovis Davin. So we want to mention the fact we want our tefillas to be Mitzurif with all of the tefillas that they offered. So the Gemara learns that out from the Pasuk, that he davened in the same location that he had previously davened. When Sarah was taken by Avimelech, Melech Plishtim in Gerar, so the Rebbeinu Shlom appears to Avimelech and he says, Hoshav Eshus Ishkin Avihu, and he got sick. Avimelech was punished, he got sick, and everybody got sick. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, give back the man's wife, she's an Eshus Ish. He will pray for you and you will get better. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, this is the first place that you have in Tanakh that tefillah helps for somebody else. We usually assume, why does tefillah help? Either you deserve it or you don't deserve it. So the philosophers from the Middle Ages say, if the person davens and he's machnia himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that in the schus of being machnia himself, so he deserves that he should get a break. But here, Avimelech is not machriya. Avraham Avinu is going to pray for Avimelech. And it still helps. The Yeskat Tzadik, the Mimispal for Achayla, it also helps. So that's a chiddush, the Pasuk. Avispal batcha vechayeh, someone else davens, and it helps for another person. That's the Korach of Tefillah. Okay, very good. There's much more. Parshas Vayir is a rich parsha. All parshas are rich. Very good.
Rav Soloveitchik said that's the first place where you see one person davening and it helps for someone else.
I think so.
The Gemara in Bava Basra, Titzayin and Aleph, put by the Ramah in Shin Lamed Hey, says if you have a sick person in your family, you should go to a tzaddik and pray for you. So this